hearts in prayer, please. Let's all pray together. Almighty God and Father in heaven, at the very outset now of this Bible class, we commit it into the hands of God. And we pray, Lord, that you'll draw near to us. We pray, O Father in heaven, that you'll close us in with God for a season. We come to thee upon the ground of redemption and by the blood of Christ. We thank thee for that atoning blood that brings us near to God's eternal throne, a throne of grace and of mercy, where we can obtain help and grace for time of need. And Lord, we come to thee and we thank thee for our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep and the lover of the soul. And O God, we come to pray that for a season we'll know what it is to be closed in with God. We pray, Lord, that as this little time now around the word continues, that God will come down, that by the Spirit you'll move among us. You'll give help in the hearing and proclamation of divine truth. Remember, O God, the Sunday school. We pray, O God, for every teacher as they gather the children around their knee. We pray, O Father, that word will find a resting place in the hearts of our little ones. And that, O God, many of them will be born of God. We pray, O God, you'll remember us now here today. Hear prayer as we continue before thee. Lord, give us a sense of God, a sense of the nearness of the Lord. And we pray, O God, that you'll answer our prayer. We thank thee that thy word tells us, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And, O God, we bless thee for the angel of the covenant, even our Lord Jesus. And we pray, O God, that by the Spirit you'll stand among us now. Bless every heart, glorify thy Son, and answer prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, turning there again this morning. I'd like to welcome you all to the adult Bible class and trust that the Lord will bless you. Welcome our webcast viewers, wherever you're watching on from, and do trust that the Lord will bless you as you join with us this morning in this class. Ephesians chapter 6, begin to read together from verse number 10. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. We know God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's have one more moment's prayer, please, as we come now to the scriptures of truth. Almighty God and Father in heaven, thy word has now been read, and we thank thee for the scriptures in our own mother tongue. But Lord, we cry to you just now. Remember us upon thy holy throne in heaven, where angels bow their heads and cover their faces and cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And Father, I confess my inadequacy before heaven and before this gathered people to deal with what is now before me. I pray for that emptying of self and sin, the washing in Jesus' blood, the infilling and baptism of the power of the Holy Ghost. O God, grant it to us, we pray, and glorify our blessed Lord Jesus in all that's said and done in this house today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time I addressed you in the adult Bible class, we looked at our continued study on the armor of God. We looked particularly that Sabbath morning at the fact that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We noticed that morning that wrestling is an individual combat. It's close combat. And of course, it's universal combat because we all go through these trials. But Paul here is speaking to these Ephesian believers. We noted that when he used that term wrestling, he used a term that the Ephesians understood. They knew exactly what wrestling was because the Greek games in the amphitheaters where the gladiators would wrestle one with another. So when Paul used this term wrestling, they knew what wrestling was. And Paul's telling them that though they don't wrestle with flesh and blood as they do in the games, principalities and powers, nevertheless, they do wrestle with. Principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the wrestling, as we saw that week, it's certain, but it's a spiritual wrestling. Because Paul makes it clear that every believer has an enemy. We have an enemy of our soul. There's a warfare to engage in. So moving this morning to verse number 12 and going on from there, Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, as Martin Lloyd-Jones said, we are dealing with a foe that is inferior in power only to the Holy Trinity. He's altogether above man in brilliance and mind and power. But the glorious thing is this, God in his Trinity of persons is omniscient. There is nothing about the devil or principalities and powers or the rulers of the darkness of this world or spiritual wickedness in high places. There is nothing about them that God doesn't know. He knows all about them. And you see, we believe in the impeccability of Christ, which means that Christ could not sin. And that's one of the most marvelous doctrines in the Bible. But it's also borne out because of Christ's omniscience. You see, whenever the devil tempts people, and tempts the Lord or tempts anyone, he always uses the deceit. That's how he does it. He seeks to deceive, but you can't deceive omniscience. Christ could not have been overcome by the temptations of the devil because he's omniscient. You can't deceive someone whose knowledge is unlimited in all areas. That's why we hold to the impeccability of Christ, and for other reasons, you can't deceive or overcome omniscience. And here we have that glorious truth here, that though there are principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of the world, spiritual wickedness in high places, God knows all about them. And since God knows all about them, God has provided all we need in the armor of God to deal with it. Paul says in verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, I don't want to go over old ground here, but we are just going to take those terms for a minute, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of the world, and spiritual wickedness in high places, and just look at them for a moment. But we are getting this morning to the first piece of the armor. That's where we're heading this morning. But first, before we go there, the first mention of the devil in the Bible is in Genesis 3. You all understand that. He came into the garden and causes the fall of man. The final mention of the devil in the Bible is in Revelation 20, verse 10, where it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." Now, Revelation 20, 10 is the final day, the wrapping up of the world as it is, and the end of the devil. But we must understand this, that from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20, verse 10, this world is going to be affected by principalities and powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is going to be the way it is until Revelation 20, verse 10. The Lord has shown us that. He appears first in Genesis 3. The end of him is Revelation 20, verse 10. But until that day, this world will be affected. We live in a fallen world. That's borne out. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, John's first epistle, 5, verse 19. And John says here, 1 John 5, 19, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Or that can be read, "lieth in the evil one," or "in the wicked one." Now turn to John 17, John's Gospel 17. And here's Christ in prayer, this great high priestly prayer, as you know, John 17, verse 15. And he's praying for his people. And he says in verse 15, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil or the evil one. That's what that means. It gives the thought of an enemy. And that's who we're up against. Principalities and powers. But you understand this, the devil is a person. He's a personality. But here's the thing, he's not eternal. The devil had a beginning. The devil has an end. The devil is not eternal. Principalities and powers are not eternal. Ezekiel 28 verse 15, we'll not take time to turn to it, but it describes the day the devil was created. Ezekiel 28 verse 15, he's not eternal, he's not omniscient, he's not omnipresent, he has not got those attributes that belong alone to God. He's not everywhere at once. In Revelation 2, when the letter came to the church in Pergamos, it refers there to Satan's seat. Where Satan's seat is. Satan continually moves. But there is a thought among writers as to where that seat is. Some say it's in the dark places of the world where there's no gospel and where wickedness is rife, and that's one view. Others say it's where the gospel's strong. That's where Satan's seat is. He has it there, where the gospel's strong. And I think that's the right one, because where Christ was, Satan was. Where David was, Satan came. Where Job was, Satan came. So I think we can say that Satan's seat is where the gospel is strong, where there's great light, where there's maybe movings of God and souls being saved and believers wanting to go on with God. Where you have those people, you will find resistance. You'll find the works of darkness and principalities and powers. There's the fall of the devil described. Turn with me to Jude, the book of Jude, that little epistle before Revelation. Jude verse 6. Here speaking of Satan and the fallen angels, the demonic beings, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, there they are, but left their own habitation. He have reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. There's the fall of the devil, cast out of heaven, and there it is described. And there's our enemy. And we're leaving it there because we have to move on. Go back to Ephesians 6. But there's the one that Paul says stand against. And to do so, he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that we might be able to stand, as verse 13 says, in the evil day. In the evil day. And dear men and women, today there is an evil day. We've all went through it to some degree or another. The trials come. The temptations come against our soul. They afflict us. You say, are there any in the Bible? Yes. One of the greatest ones in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Turn there. You see there really, very, very clearly, what the devil does and what his aim is when he comes against us to tempt us and discourage us. Because remember, the afflictions and the trials that the devil brings upon us are to discourage us and to cause our work to cease. That's what it's to do. It's to cause our work to cease. If you're doing something for the Lord and temptations and trial comes, they're only coming for one reason. A, you're doing something for the Lord. B, it has to stop. That's the way it is. Now look with me at Nehemiah chapter 4. These people are building the walls of Jerusalem. God has made it clear the walls of Jerusalem have to be rebuilt. So they begin to do the work. Look at verse 1 of Nehemiah 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard, that's the enemy, that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? There's the antics of the devil, the mocking, the taunting. And you know, at times he can use our friends, even family, to taunt us and mock us. And what's it for? It's to discourage us and get us down. Look how they dealt with it. Verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Here they are, they're going through it. And they just took it to the Lord. They're being mocked here. That's how they dealt with it. They took it to the Lord. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. And verse 6 says, so built we the wall. The attack of the enemy didn't work. The mocking didn't stop it. But did he give up? No. Look at verse number 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth. It's now turned from mocking to anger. And he vents his fury in many ways, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. The antics was mockery. Now the action, it's just designed to hinder the work. And that's what he does. It's mockery, and then it becomes downright anger. They were very wroth. And sometimes you meet the brunt of it. Maybe at work, or you meet somebody and something happens and you think, what was that all about? That's what it was all about. Opposition. The devil stirs it up. He uses these people to stir it up against these people that are doing the work of God. But look how they dealt with it again. Verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So there's mockery, and then there's downright hatred. But look at verse 11. Because the enemy still didn't give up. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Do you see it? Right from the beginning of chapter 4, it was mockery, then it was anger, and now they're just going to come upon them. Why? To get the work to cease. And that's how he comes. That's his desire for you, to discourage you, to bring you down, to get you to stop doing what you're doing. And when you discern it and realize what's going on, then you see it clearly that that's what it is. He hinders. It's to cause the work to cease. But going back to Ephesians 6, Paul says to us, and of course through the Ephesian believers, verse number 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There it is. And having done all to stand, now we come to the armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, the question is, what does that little phrase mean? Having your loins girt about with truth. Well, here we come to the first piece of the armor. I want you to notice something about this armor. Notice with me in verse 14 and 15. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There's one piece. On the breastplate of righteousness, there's another piece. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The first three parts of the armor are attached to the body. We never take them off. Our loins are girt about with truth. We have on the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. They're attached to us. The next three parts, look at them, verse 16. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The next three pieces are parts that we take. There's times we have to lift the shield of faith. There's times we have to lift the sword. But the first three pieces, they're on us all the time. And what is the thought with our loins girt about with truth? Well, the thought is this. It's to stand upon what the Bible teaches. Our loins girt about with truth. Paul is speaking about resting on what the Word of God says, standing on the truth of this book. That's what he's saying. That when the wiles of the devil come and the temptations come, we have a foundation. The Scriptures. Standing upon the truth. And dear people, troubles come time and time again to Christendom. I use it that way. Because men do not stand upon that book. Their loins are not girt about with truth. Listen, the charismatic movement could not exist if our loins were girt about with the truth. False teaching will always come. And there's where Paul starts when he's dealing with the armor of God. Remember what he's dealing with? The attacks of the devil. Where will the devil launch his attack? He'll always launch it against the church and teaching. He'll bring in false teaching. He'll bring in that which is wrong. And there's where Paul starts. The first piece of the armor he uses, it's not the sword of the Spirit. It's not the shield of faith. It's not the helmet of salvation. He says, have your loins girt about with truth. Let the book control you. Let it guide you. Let it lead you. Let it be your rule of faith. Peter uses the same term over in 1 Peter. Turn there, please. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Because the whole thought is, let the book, let the teaching of it, the whole canon, the whole doctrine of it, Let it deal with how you think. Let it affect how you think, how you live. Now look at 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Peter's speaking here to believers that are in a great trial. They're in a great affliction. 1 Peter 1, 13. And he says to them, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind." That's the same sort of language. And Peter's saying to him, gird up your loins of your mind. Let this book, let the truth here rule you. Think about it. And Paul is saying to the Ephesians, he's saying to them, have your loins girt about with truth. Stand in the truth of the book. Let it govern you. As the devil seeks to assault and tempt, let this book rule you. That's what he's saying. Let this book rule you. Because you see, right from the beginning, there's where the devil launched his attack. The first temptation in the Bible was against the truth of God. That's what it was against. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. And let's just see that. And when Paul is dealing with the armor, that's where he starts. In Genesis 2, the Lord has told Adam and Eve, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree in the midst of the garden, you cannot eat. Okay? Now look at chapter 3. Here's the first time the devil's mentioned. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See what he did? He immediately came in and caused Eve and her mind to question what God had said. There's where he launched it. Against God's revealed will. And men and women, he always does that. Look at verse 4. Then he just denies the truth of God. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God has said, the day you eat thereof, you'll die. The devil straight in, you'll not. He's immediately denying divine truth. And men and women, he does that continually. That is what he does right to this day in the cults, in the charismatic movements, false teaching after false teaching. And Paul starts in the armor of God, let your loins be girt about with truth. Know what that book teaches. Stand for it. Live for it. And you see, we stand upon the fact that this book is closed. We stand in that. That is the big battle of our day, or one of them. That this book is closed. That God is no longer revealing truth. You see, the charismatic will tell us that God is revealing truth. And he's still giving truth. And through tongues, and through visions, and that's what they tell us. The question is this, is he? Is green pastures right? No, they're not. If they're right, we're wrong. If we're right, they're wrong. That book is closed. That book is the final revelation of God. God is revealing nothing else. We have the closed article or the finished book. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The title that we given to the belief that we hold to and Reformed and Orthodox believers hold to is this, that the supernatural gifts of the church ceased, and it's called cessationism. We are cessationists. We believe that the gifts of the church have ceased, and it ceased whenever this canon was complete. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, look with me here, because we're going to deal with this here as we look at this, having our loins girt about with truth, because we have to know what we believe. Verse number 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Now note that. Tongues is going to cease, right? They shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So there's coming a day, Paul's saying, when tongues is going to cease. Now look at verse number 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. What does that mean? Well, it means this. Every message that a prophet brought in the church in Corinth, or a message in tongue, was just a fragment of that book. It was just a fragment of revealed truth. That's what Paul's saying. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. It was a fragment of the full revelation of God. Like the sermon Paul preached, or Peter preached in the day of Pentecost. He preached it in tongues. We have it in our Bible. It's just a little part of divine truth. And that's what Paul was saying there. We know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now we have the complete canon of Scripture. God's not giving new revelation or revelation. This is God's final word. But the key verse is this. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So tongues and visions will cease when that which is perfect is come. That's what the verse is saying. The question is, and this is where the argument rages, what does Paul, writing by the Holy Ghost, mean by that which is perfect? What does he mean by that? When he says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now the charismatics will come straight in there and they will say that Paul here is talking about the second coming of Christ. When that which is perfect has come, there's the second coming. When Christ comes, tongues will cease and visions will cease and we'll have it right to them. That's what they say on that verse. They say that's the second coming. But look with me at verse 13, because it cannot be the second coming. Because look, verse 13 says, and now, so now think this through. After that which is perfect has come, okay? They say it's the second coming. By the way, we say it's the Scriptures, the complete canon. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, the key phrase there, the key word is abideth. The word abideth there, it means continues or remains. That's what the word means. So what Paul's saying is, after that which is perfect has come, faith, hope, and charity will remain. But men and women, that rules out the second coming of Christ. Because after the second coming of Christ, hope most certainly does not remain. Because hope gives way to sight. So it can't be the second coming that Paul's speaking about in verse 10. So what is he speaking about? Look at it again. But when that which is perfect has come. Now I want you to take your Bible. I want you to underline that word perfect and write beside it complete. Because that's what the word means. But when that which is complete is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Remember, Paul's already said in verse number 8, tongues is going to cease. It's going to cease whenever that which is complete is come, when we have the full revelation of God. God will be revealing no more truth by tongues. That's what Paul's saying. When that which is perfect is come, when we have the complete canon, tongues, visions, that which is in part will be done away with. That's what he says in verse 10. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now look at the words in verse number 11 here. When I was a child, he goes on to say, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, Paul was not saying the Corinthians were being childish. But what was Paul saying? Paul is saying here that the gifts of the church, tongues, visions, they belong to the church in its infancy. That's what he's saying. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul was not saying that tongues was childish or visions were childish. He was saying they belong to the church in its infancy until they received the complete canon and then they ceased. And dear men and women, the point is this, they did cease. They did cease. When that canon was complete, tongues ceased and have never returned. Never returned. Because the tongues that are used in this town at this minute are not the tongues of the New Testament. The tongues in the New Testament was preaching the gospel in another language. That's what it was. But the tongues that are used in this town at the minute are not that. Tongues never returned. Tongues ceased when that canon of Scripture was complete. And dear men and women, when Paul says, and begins with the armor, he says, have your loins girt about with truth. Stand on that book. And you can't be swept aside with all the winds of doctrine. It can't happen. You see, we face a battle for truth today that our forefathers never faced on this issue. Never faced it. You read Matthew Henry or Matthew Pull, and those men never had to deal with tongues because it wasn't an issue. It wasn't there. Tongues ceased as the Bible said it ceased. And this whole confusion that the devil has brought in, and it was the devil that brought it in, of tongue speaking and so-called visions has caused chaos in the Church of Christ. Chaos. I told this story one night in the youth, and I'm going to tell you it just to illustrate as I close. Horrific story. And it was caused by charismatic movement. A couple of years ago, I was in Edinburgh preaching. And I was down in the Grassmarket area, many of you know it. And this young woman came along and she said, I am a Christian, I am a Christian. And she looked awfully upset. And I said, you look upset. Yes. I noticed immediately she was from the United States of America with her accent. I said, why are you upset? She says, I'm looking for my husband. Oh, I says, right. I says, where are you looking for him at? Edinburgh. I says, what's his name? I don't know. I said, you don't know your husband's name. She says, no, I don't know my husband's name. I said, you're in Edinburgh and you're upset because you can't find your husband, but you don't know his name. She says, that's right. I said, I don't understand this. She says, I saw him in a vision. Horrific. Tragic. There's a wee girl standing in the Grassmarket in Edinburgh, flown from the United States of America to Edinburgh on a vision, crying. I says to her, she told me she went to this big charismatic church, 3,000-4,000 people go there. I said, what did your mother say when you said you were for America or for Edinburgh? Go for it, darling. God has spoken to you. You see the damage? See the awful chaos that comes into the Church of Christ when men don't stand on that book? I says, dear, I don't know what you saw or what happened to you. I says, but I'm telling you, he didn't speak to you. God didn't speak to you. The book is closed. There are no visions. There are no tongues. It is gone. The book is closed. And I said, I'm going to give you a wee word of advice. Go to the airport and go home. Go back home. And you know, the sad thing was this. She just refused that advice completely. So convinced. And there she is. I would say that wee girl was mid-20s at most, standing in Edinburgh, heartbroken, looking for somebody she saw in a vision. Men and women, when Paul began with the armor of God to speak and to preserve the church against the wiles of the devil, he began there, have your loins girt about with truth. Stand on this book. Know what we believe and let nothing sway us to stand for God and contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. We'll leave it there today. We'll come back, I think, to that point, that first part of the armor, the next time I'm here, but we'll leave it there this morning. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we come to Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, the only true King and Head of His Church. And we thank Thee for Him. And we thank Thee for this book that we have in our hand. We thank Thee for the complete canon of Scripture. And, O God, we cry to Thee that in these days You'll give the true Church of Christ power, that mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we pray, our Father in heaven, that false teaching and heresies that always sweep into the church will be swept aside by a breath from heaven, a move of God. Oh God, we cry to Thee, raise up preacher after preacher after preacher to take divine truth into all the world. And oh God, glorify Thy Son and bind every power of the pit. Continue with us now as we get into the prayer meeting. Bless the morning service. Bless the Reverend Greer as he ministers divine truth. And, O God, come down among us more and more and glorify the Christ upon the throne. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.